Rock.
It's Saturday morning. Time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. And a good Saturday morning to you, Larry. It is good weather for the gardener, and a weather that we, I guess, would like to see into December. But it's time to start cooling things down for the plants, right?
It is, right. And I really don't like the soil moisture situation we have right now. We had a little bit of rain last week. Thank you very much. Mucho apreciado. But
yes,
it's a little dry. However, for an annual basis, I was looking at the charts
from
the National Weather Service. And we're way ahead, almost record rainfall this year. So deep down, it's good stuff.
Good, okay.
The trees are loving it.
But you got to get past that 4-inch mark to get there.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, so be sure to water your new plants, and especially those that are close to the house. It tends to get a little drier sooner there than usual. So you might consider turning on your sprinkler system if you had it shut down for the winter.
Okay.
Because we're going to have, I don't think it's going to get cold, really, this whole week.
Well, let's see. I'm looking at down around 30 on Tuesday night.
29, 28, 28, 28, 28, 24.
I mean, we're going to be sub-freezing. It'll be hard freeze definitely by the time we get to Thursday at 24 degrees.
If it's an irrigation system that Green Thumb installed within the last, say, 7 years or so, you don't have to worry about that. Even though we have an above ground backflow preventer, we always put an insulated box around it, so it'll take it way down into the teens.
Okay.
And also you'll be equipped with a freeze and rain sensor, wireless freeze and rain sensor. So if it does get cold, really cold like that, it won't run.
That's a good deal.
Pretty smart.
Yeah.
So anyway, don't have one of those, it's very easy to interface your existing sprinkler system with a rain freeze sensor. A lot of the newer ones, or most of them, are wireless. You can pick them up at Amazon or whatever, or I can supply you one.
So it's a Bluetooth or other wire radio-controlled sort of system then?
I don't know what frequency it uses. But it uses an RF signal.
Okay.
And it sends out spits out a signal every 10 minutes or so to the timer.
Uh-huh.
And it tells the timer that, and it's got a receiver in there.
Okay.
That receives the signal. And then that switches the timer off and on, depending on the situation, be it cold or a programmed amount of a precipitation response. So that's kind of fun. They're kind of smart, too.
Good deal.
So anyway, because of this time, this is the time of year when it's really dry and your plants really do need the extra water, and you do have a sprinkler system, and some people might forget that they left it on, and then, whoops, this ice sheet, you've done this. So
what is that out there? Oh, yeah, I forgot the term.
Oh, I forgot the sprinkler system. Well, sorry, the postman plop, Anyway, so they're add-ons that are very easy to do, and it's all a simple, basic thing. So anyway, that's kind of fun with sprinkler systems, too, and we do put those in, and we've done quite a few of them this year, I designed them to perform in the middle of August when there's the water stress is pretty bad.
Yeah.
First of all, you got to take a pressure reading at the faucet of the house and to see what the static pressure is in your neighborhood.
Okay.
Then I can design it accordingly. Some of the circuits have 6 sprinklers on them. Some of them have 3, depending on how much water is available and then how far they have to go and so on. So there's some engineering involved with these things, too.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
If your family doesn't have one, it would be a nice Christmas gift for the family to have Larry drop by and
set up
a sprinkler system for you.
Yeah, you at least get a design done, and you can wrap it up and say, here's what we're going to have done.
Mm-hmm.
Merry Christmas.
There you go. Merry Christmas, plants. You're going to be greener next year.
That's a good idea. So anyway, that's kind of it with watering right now. Using a hose is not a bad deal. I used a hose yesterday because I do have a drip system at home. And it got hit by lightning and it ruined everything. So now I'm using a hose moving up. How 1974?
Well, it worked in 1974.
Exactly.
And it can still
move the hose from here to there,
Yeah.
And my, the twice blooming iris, just loved it. They're still, they've been in bloom for over a month.
Great.
Beautiful things.
Yeah.
And they needed some water. So I gave them some. And the deciduous holly, if it gets real droughty, it tends to drop its berries. And they don't mature and the birds can't enjoy them. So I gave out some water too. So anyway, so manual watering is just fine right now too, if you don't want to charge up the sprinkler system.
Okay.
And just to make sure to disconnect it from the hose every night.
Yes, that would be important.
Mm-hmm.
Write yourself a note or put it in your phone or...
Right. So look at the soil between the sidewalk and the beds, or the soil between the house and your beds or whatever, grass outside, and see if there's a gap in there where you can see molten lava down there from the from the drought. So, and so you might want to consider watering if you do have, if your soil has shrunk to where there's a gap around the sidewalk.
If that area is well mulched, then chances are you probably don't have a problem, but you would have to still pull back some mulch to take a look, right?
That's a good point, Charlie. I'm glad you brought that up, because in our investigations around those areas that are adequately mulched, there is no water problem. So.
Okay.
Okay, time to fix those fences and other items, the gates. You know, every house I go to, you go to the backyard, the gate doesn't work. Mm-hmm. They all have a special combination code, more or less, they have to use to get into the backyard. Lift it up and pull and switch the lever and all that.
Now I understand the combination code you're talking about. I thought they were more secure than my house. Okay.
Almost every single house I go to do the measuring or something. And
yeah.
Some of them go to the point where, okay, just walk through the house. You know, we can't get the gate open.
You have to hit it on the left side of the gate, then lift up. Yeah.
That's okay. Right. So you might want to have that looked at and have it fixed maybe if your gates aren't working properly, because that is a big of a snarl, especially when you're gardening. And oh my God, I forgot my trowel, my feet are muddy.
Yeah.
I have to take off my shoes and go to the house, put on my other shoes, go out to the shed and get whatever. So you might consider getting the gate fixed if it doesn't work right.
Yeah.
Or if you can do it yourself.
Or get a friend to do it with you and you have a conversation while you're getting it done.
And there are other things to do around the house like that, the pruning and so on. I was at a house where they pruned a redbud tree and they left all these stubs on it. And I said, this is an absolute no-no. You need to cut those way back to the trunk. So look at your trees and see if they're healthy, and you might consider doing some pruning right now. These are all things that you can do right now when you're not really actively doing stuff in the garden, and you're not burdened with having to fix that annoying gate or sharpen that annoyingly dull pruning shears or that annoyingly dull shovel.
Yes.
Which, by the way, comes really handy. You know, this last week we were digging some stuff up for a sprinkler system, and there's a tree root. It's big around as my wrist.
Mm-hmm. That was a good sized root.
Shoveled right through it.
Wow.
Stood on it and stomped right through it. So it's very good to get the sharp. And I say that at the end of the show. And it's a very good thing, especially when you have a lot of roots and things around there. It's not good for telephone lines, though. At least it does make a nice clean cut.
But somebody still has to come out
before you do anything anyway.
Call 811. That's a universal number anywhere across the country. Individual states have other numbers that you can call.
Yeah, it got so bad at my house, I had to put it in a conduit.
Well, that's a good way to do it.
Because I do a lot of digging at the house.
You only cut the cable or the phone line or whatever, you know, buried down there.
Yeah, if you use like a 1-inch real heavy electrical conduit, the gray stuff, it'll resist a puncture from a shovel pretty well.
Yeah.
You want to avoid using the thin wall pipe or something like that. It just snaps.
But, yeah.
But you want to use the heavy underground rated conduit. And next time you break your line, you might.
Yes.
We did that for somebody too. Big old long telephone line. And his livelihood depends upon the internet. And he in no way does he want to get interrupted at all. It wasn't a shovel or anything else that broke the line. It was an animal out there chewing on it.
Really?
Bit the thing right in half, a mole or something like that. I don't know what it was.
Now, what size do you recommend? Are you some using something as big as like a 4-inch PVC or just a 1 or 2?
It depends. If you want to run, say, a cable vision line and a telephone line through it, you might consider it at least a 1-inch.
Yeah.
In this case, we did a 1-inch line.
Mm-hmm.
Run a string through it while you're putting it in.
It does make it a whole lot easier to get the cable back through there when you want to.
Yeah. Another way to do it is to get a good strong vacuum cleaner and tie a paper towel to the end of a string and it's just amazing how fast it'll go through that conduit.
Yes.
Then you got your pull line in there.
So, if you got a powerful enough vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, it doesn't take much, but no. The shop back will work.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's another thing you can do while the garden is dormant, is if you do have a problem with utility lines in the way, put a Schedule 40 PVC or electrical conduit in there.
Mm-hmm.
And next time you break it, well, just run it through this line. They'll gladly do it.
It makes it easier for them and more dependable for you next time.
Exactly.
800-749-5936, and this is Green Country Gardener on your Saturday morning. Larry Glass in to answer your questions on the garden line, and we will continue with talking about some of those things you can do to make a better garden during the winter months when we continue in just a moment.
Talking with Brent at United Rentals, you've also got generators?
Yep, generators for bad weather.
And chainsaws and pruner chainsaws as well for you to be able to get up high if you don't want to go up in the cherry picker, but you still have some branches you want to trim.
Yep, we've got a long pruning saw. It's 14 foot. We've also got chainsaws if you need to trim some trees around your place. 3801 Southeast Nowata Road, 918-333-9580.
It's starting to look a lot like Christmas around Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb has poinsettias now in stock. It's Bartlesville's largest selection of quality poinsettias, Christmas garland and greenery, Norfolk pines and Christmas cactus, musical tune, wind chimes, and other gift ideas. For the hard-to-shop-for gardener, get a Green Thumb gift certificate. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5.
I am a veteran. I lost both legs in Vietnam.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
My victory was getting my benefits and a good education.
DAV helps veterans of every generation get the benefits they've earned.
I'm a veteran. I didn't want to admit it, but I had PTSD.
So veterans can reach victories, great and small.
My victory was finding help and learning that I wasn't alone.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-334-2020. 800-749-5936.
The telephone number to get you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Lines are open. If you'd like to give us a call right now, it would be a good time. Listener supported, listener driven topics on the radio with Larry.
Exactly. Now, one thing that's on people's mind a lot right now are poinsettias.
Yes. And my wife went out to Green Thumb Nursery and brought one home this week. It looks great.
Good. It's still alive.
So far.
All right. And we've had more than just red poinsettias.
You do.
You go to some of these big box stores and your choices are red
or dying pink.
Red or brown. One of them.
We were in a store yesterday, and I saw this display. When that particular business was doing some of the things that you say don't buy a poinsettia when they're still all wrapped up in plastic and that sort of thing. And
yeah.
There they were, yeah. And so it does make a difference where you get your plant from.
Exactly. But anyway, we have the red ones, of course,
uh-huh.
And some purple and white, and some mottled different colors on them.
Mm-hmm.
And orange, actually. There's an orange one.
Wow.
And one that's, I mentioned this last week, the pink one with the white red edge around it.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a magenta color.
Okay.
It's really quite nice. We're getting some more of those in this week.
Good.
So what we do when we get our poinsettias, we trickle them in from suppliers all over around. We used to grow them ourselves, but mm-hmm. It got to be cost per square foot, not necessarily economically viable to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we get some from Independence and other places up in Kansas. There's a couple of growers up there.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, and they have some really good plants.
Good.
So, and all kinds of different colors and different sizes too.
Mm-hmm.
So if your person to whom you're giving a poinsettia doesn't have an overly large house, you might want to consider getting a smaller one. because the big one, the one you really want to give, will just overpower the entryway or something, or the living room.
It takes more real estate for that one.
Exactly. Yeah. So you might consider the scale of the receiver of the poinsettia too when picking one out. And we have different sizes, so it's not only money is not only the consideration, but consider it so it doesn't take up all their space. Somebody lives in an apartment, so you get them a big 10-inch poinsettia.
Yeah.
Well, there's no room left. I know I lived in an apartment like that when I was younger. But anyway, so consider that also, and maybe get a different color and so on. And we have all kinds of colors of foil you can put on or have put on. The girls over there and Gary, they can wrap that stuff.
Okay.
I've tried for the last 30 years. I can't wrap a poinsettia. I just don't have it. But anyway, they can do a very good job of it over there. But anyway, choose a plant with dark green foliage all the way down to the soil line.
Okay.
Okay. Choose the bracts, which are, in quotes, modified leaves. Mm-hmm. They're not really flowers. They're what we call bracts.
Right.
I explained that last week. That are completely colored in. In other words, the pigmentation has happened and it's going to...
If it's the magenta one, other than the one that's supposed to have a white border around the leaf,
right?
You know, it needs to be a consistent color,
right? Yeah, there shouldn't be any green mottling in the leaf, unless the plant is designed that way. But most of them aren't really.
Yeah.
Do not purchase poinsettias with a lot of green around the bract edges. Okay. Do not get a plant with fallen or yellow leaves. It's been under stress that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that happens a lot, especially when it's cold. These come in trucks, and you have to deliver them in a very controlled environment because they don't like change. They're sort of like goldfish or in-laws or something, or ficus trees. They just
don't like change.
Can't handle change.
Yeah.
No, so
take it out of the house, the leaves fall off. Take it in the house, the leaves fall off. Yeah.
Exactly. So pick some out that have leaves that are all the way down. It should look full, balanced, and attractive from all sides. You just look all the way around it. It should look really nice from every viewpoint. Some of them, they may not be perfectly symmetrical. So you pick a side you want and have the bow put on the side that you want to do. You just pick it. I want this plant and I want the bow over here. And they can do that for you. Choose plants that are not drooping or wilting. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do not purchase plants that are displayed in a paper or plastic sleeve. It has a lot to do with drainage. The plastic sleeves don't drain through. When we do ours, we cut a slit in the bottom of it and give you the option of getting a saucer with it, and that lets the water run through.
Okay.
So it doesn't sit in water. Poinsettias like a somewhat droughty environment. They really don't like to be wet.
They're
like that.
They're native to Mexico, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah.
The roots rot away pretty easily, and then all of a sudden, 2 days before Christmas, when there are no more poinsettias anywhere, your poinsettia dies.
And you got a house full of people coming
over the next day. That's right. Oh, yeah. My gosh. I got to get an artificial one. Anyway. So do not purchase
plants. Get the computer screen out here and give me a picture of a poinsettia.
Yeah. Stick it on the... do not purchase plants that have been displayed or crowded too close together. That has to do with a lack of light in the area. And then they tend to drop leaves in the shadier part, too. Crowding can cause a premature bract loss. Check a plant's soil. If it's wet and the plant is wilted, this could be an indication of root rot. If it's wilted and the plant is dry, that's not a bad thing.
Okay.
Because they can tolerate being dry and then resaturated, but they cannot really tolerate a consistent moisture. It will cause them to root rot. We had a problem 2 years ago with a grower, and he didn't put enough perlite in the soil mix. And
you had dissatisfied customers.
Yeah, we had to replace a lot of poinsettias. check the poinsettia's maturity. Check the true flowers, which are located at the base of the colored black bracts. If the flowers are green or red-tipped and fresh-looking, the bloom will hold longer than if yellow pollen is covering the flower. So a little tiny flower in the middle, that's a true flower. If it's opened up at this point in time, if you see pollen stamens in there, it's not going to be fully, the appearance isn't going to be the best at the time when you really want it. So at this point, the true flower should be pretty well closed. So, and when you take the poison set home, make sure to have it sleeved or covered when outdoor temperatures are below 50. We do have paper sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's down below 50 degrees, you might insist on having it wrapped.
Okay.
Which is a very simple thing to do. You just pick up and put the poinsett in and kind of drop it in there, and it's wrapped. Pretty simple to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that will keep it from getting socked, especially if you're on the way to the grocery store or something and it's like 22 degrees outside.
Or even the forecast I can see for this weekend where your high is around 70 and you're going to get to a little bit of greenhouse effect going on in the car.
Yeah.
And it becomes 92 by the time you get it home.
Then it goes home and it goes... So... Make the nursery your last stop, in other words.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the story on poinsettias. We can go to a history of poinsettias if you want later on in the show. But
okay.
Anyway, that's kind of what you want to do with them when you get them. So they're nice and healthy when you get them in the house. When you do bring them in the house, try to keep them away from the air ducts that are blowing really dry air out, because that'll tend to make the leaves curl up on the edge and tend to dry them out prematurely.
They need a lot of light.
Mm-hmm. Right? And water them as needed.
Okay. We have a caller, and good morning, caller. You are next up on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you this morning?
Okay, I have a wood stove. It's about 4 foot by 2 foot.
Yes.
And we'd like $300 for it.
I'll tell you. Well, yeah, we'll be happy to take that call in, I'll say next hour, after we start taking your items to buy, sell, trade, or give away. Still across the garden program right now, if you happen to have a garden question for Larry, we'll be happy to get that on answer for you.
Okay. When do I call back?
Sometime after 9 o'clock when we're taking the items to buy, sell, trade, or give away. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your call.
It probably fetch a better price when the temperature's cold.
Yeah, it's just the timing of programs. I know some people know they want to call, so they pick up the phone and call without listening. But it's just, yeah, better when people are listening for that
sure.
subject matter.
We have the best-looking poinsettias in town, and no, they are not poisonous. Colors are from red to white to pink.
Yeah.
Variegated colors. Make a striking accent in the house, too, and you get several for festive holiday decorations.
Sure. Put one in every particularly south and, I guess, maybe west-facing window to get a lot of sun.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, planning your landscape.
Sounds good. We'll do
that. We talked a little bit about what to do in the wintertime, and we're getting into that part of the program. So
yeah, we'll take a break and transition into landscape plans and how you can have an excellent-looking home later on with a planned landscape. 800-749-5936, and we'll continue with Larry Glass coming up in just a moment.
When it comes to banking, it can be hard to find a place where you feel like more than just a number. At American Heritage Bank, we combine over 110 years of experience with the highest quality of customer service to give you an unparalleled banking experience. Stop by one of our convenient locations or visit us at ahb-ok.com to experience the difference. American Heritage Bank, member FDIC.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod expert, Enterprise Sod Store, at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Tackle tough do-it-yourself projects with tools from Peters True Value in Dewey. Right now, a Milwaukee M12 two-tool combo kit is $99.99 while supplies last. This powerful kit includes a compact cordless drill impact driver. Both tools feature ergonomic handles and battery fuel gauges that display remaining running time. The kit comes complete with two lithium-ion battery packs, a charger, and handy contractor bag. Get yours now, along with other quality tools and accessories. Peters True Value in Dewey. Behind every project is a true value.
800-749-5936, the telephone number to get you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning all across the region. Taking your calls, 800-749-5936 with Larry Glass. And Larry, we were just about ready to launch into planning a landscape, a garden, so mm-hmm. that things will look better not only 4 months from now, but 4 years from now.
Yeah, you can do it yourself mm-hmm. if you want. You can kind of an simple thing to do.
Simple thing for you to
you
say.
You can make a scale drawing of your property with all the driveways and sidewalks and mm-hmm. locate the areas where you might want to locate shrub beds and trees and so on. We got a caller?
We do have a caller, and okay. We'll say good morning. You are on Green Country Gardener. How can we help you out this morning?
Well, I have two evergreen trees that are growing at each corner of my house.
Yes.
And their limbs are starting to grow over my roof.
Oh, my.
So I'm wondering, since they don't, cedars, they don't lose limbs, is this safe, or should I cut these limbs off from over my house?
Okay, they are cedars, or typically they're junipers, what we call cedars. The needles, they have needles on them that are kind of sharp and spiny.
Yeah, no, they're not pines. They have those, but they have those little berries on them, and the starlings are coming by the droves.
Oh, the little blueberries on them?
Yeah.
Okay, those are probably Canardi junipers, and they grow really, really tall. They can be cut back. They will survive, and they will put on some new shoots down below if the tops are cut off.
Can she bring the length of those limbs back?
Yes, indeed. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that it wouldn't have to cut it all the way off, but bring it back to a lot closer.
They can bring it back. It's going to look a little clubby and a little bare for a while, but next spring you'll notice it'll start to put on some spurs, and it'll fill in again. But it's going to take a little bit of time to recover if it's really, really tall, and if you cut it way back.
Yeah, they're about two stories tall now.
Yeah. So, yeah, you want to...
They're going to get bigger? They're about 50, 60 years old.
Yeah, if they're 50 to 60 years old, they're not going to get much taller.
Oh, good.
But, it's about mature height. So you might want to just shape them up perhaps a little bit rather than just try to cut them back too far. And just see how they look just by just a little bit of shearing on the edges and see how it looks. And then stand back, and if that looks fine, so be it.
Okay, but it won't hurt them.
No. No, not Yay. At all. I used to live at my other house over here. We had them all on the back of the fence. Then the power company came in and just sheared them all off at the top. And they came back. So the junipers do have a way of coming back. Now, if you had a pine tree or something like that, like an Austrian pine or a Japanese black or a loblolly pine or something, they won't. The top will not regenerate. But on the junipers and arborvitaes, they will come back.
That's great news. Thank you so much.
All righty. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much for the call. And, happy shearing, happy cutting back on that one.
But I know somebody with all kinds of gasoline-powered equipment that makes all kinds of noise. Probably do real well.
Would that be a regular person who visits in the studio or a regular caller who actually is an arborist?
That's the regular person who visits in the studio.
Okay.
Anyway, planning your landscape. Uh-huh. It is kind of important to have a scale drawing of your place if you don't, or if you want to try to design this.
Mm-hmm.
And of the driveways inside.
Could you go on like Google Maps or Google Earth rather, and actually get the picture they've taken from space?
Mm-hmm. You can do that too.
Yeah.
And make an outline of that basically.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised how weird your property lines are when you look at the. Anyway,
you think it's a straight line?
No, there's not very many houses in town that have a straight property line. If you say you want something by the house, don't try to identify the plant. Identify the shape of the plant at this point in time.
I want something tall, or I want something bushy.
I want something tall and narrow over here. I want these big tall junipers at the corner of the house, like this last caller just described. Perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to be no more than, say, 8 feet tall, and so on. So put that as not only a size, but a height and a characteristic criteria, put that on that plant.
I want it all green, or I want a blooming plant here.
Exactly. A blooming plant or specimen interest plants here. Try not to overdo the specimen plants. I see that a lot. They They got specimens, it's specimens, just, specimen
it,
plant.
It's no longer a specimen. It fits in with everything else.
Yeah, it looks like garbage. you need to just try to highlight a plant and try to base it on the architecture of the house, too, your specimen interest plants. And if you get too many of them, it just looks like too much.
Yeah.
So you have your specimen plants and your support plants. But anyway, there's all kinds of little little things you need to think of when doing a landscape design. Yeah. But anyway, just basically draw round circles and stuff for where you want the plants. And on there you might say plant 24 inches high. And over here at the by the window, maybe plant 36 inches high. And so on. And the reason why I say that is we have different environments in which these plants are placed.
Mm-hmm.
North, south, east, or west, or varying angles thereof. Where it gets really hot in the afternoon, perhaps. Or if it faces east, it doesn't get very hot in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Or if it faces north, at some times of year, it gets no sun.
Yeah. Or if there's a house real close next door that I don't care what time of day, it's probably going to be shaded.
And there's a tree nearby or something, so be sure to mark the trees on there, any other structures like that, a fence. So that'll have some kind of an impact on the on what kind of plant to use also.
Mm-hmm.
And also drainage characteristics. If it's perfectly flat, well, there's some plants that just will not tolerate poor drainage. But if all the water goes away from the house like it should, you shouldn't have any problems with a lot of different plants. But that doesn't always happen.
Nope.
So once you do that, then you can come by the nursery and say, I need a 2.5-foot plant. The exposure is hot sun. And I want it to bloom at a certain time of the year. And da-da-da. Then we can show you different plants that way that fit those characteristics. Because you get over to... And some people, when they come to the nursery, they've got their ideas in their mind what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they look at, you know, thousands of different varieties of plants. And it makes it difficult to make a decision as to what to put where. So if we know the environmental characteristics, that is the drainage and exposure, and you know, like that, then surrounding areas, then we can narrow it down to a certain set of plants that'll grow in that particular area. So starting basically not necessarily at a plant identification, but at a plant characteristic, then we can expand from there and make a really good plan. That's kind of the process I follow when I do the designs too.
Mm-hmm. And you can also, you know, say, okay, you want something this height, then you can talk about, you know, like you said, all the other characteristics, and you give them a choice. This one has little blueberries on it. This one has no berries on it. This one, whatever, you know, you've got some choices to make.
So if you have an area with a lot of trees around it, then the front of the house, you can pick out things like azaleas and pyeras and mahonias and yews and boxwoods and leucothoes and other things like that. But if it's sunny on the west side, you want to stick to things like nandinas and barberries and boxwoods and dwarf yelpon hollies and so on. And so, you know, there's different plants in different areas.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
So keep that in mind, too, when you're doing it. And then we can pick out some plants. Then I can work up a cost estimate or something. Or you just call and say, Larry, I want this place landscaped. Do something.
and when you do that, then you still make you do all the things that you just talked about the customer doing it on paper, except you can come back with a 3D rendering on computer and show them how this would look not only, you know, as you plant it, but age it 5 years, age it 10 years.
Exactly. Essentially, what I do is build your house virtually on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a close. It's not going to be, you know, the windows aren't going to be the same. It's going to be a window, you know.
Right.
The doors and all that. It's not going to be exactly, although I had somebody.
My door opens to the left. Your showing opens.
I know. I had somebody. I showed them you know, a door I had on the program. They really liked it. They went and bought a new door.
That's their choice.
Because they realized they needed a new door. So, hey, that looks so much better. So anyway.
The local lumber yard benefits too.
Exactly. So anyway, so with those characteristics in there, you can see how the plants work with the house. The ins and outs of the house, the style of the architecture of the house, will be, you know, Tuscan or colonial or modern or something.
Right.
You can see exactly how it'll look. So there's no way to rubber stamp a landscape plan.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to go in and consider so many factors, environment and soil type and exposure and architecture of the house. Height of the facade.
Are you the gardener that likes to go out and do things, or do you want to?
Are they gardeners, or are they people who aren't gardeners?
Yeah.
So you have to factor all that stuff in.
Sounds reasonable. They can stop by or give you a call at Green Thumb Nursery and set up an appointment.
Not to mention soil type.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
800-749-5936. Green Country Gardener will continue in just a moment.
It's starting to look a lot like Christmas around Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb has poinsettias now in stock. It's Bartlesville's largest selection of quality poinsettias, Christmas garland and greenery, Norfolk pines and Christmas cactus, musical tune, wind chimes, and other gift ideas. For the hard-to-shop-for gardener, get a Green Thumb gift certificate. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5.
They get our kids to school safely.
Okay, so walk me through how you got to this answer.
They provide critical support in the classroom.
Chicken sandwich, my favorite.
They keep students nourished, so they're ready to learn.
I'm an outie.
They are there when accidents happen.
Oh, you're gonna need a Band-Aid.
And they keep our schools beautiful.
School bus drivers, custodians, nurses, paraeducators, just a few of the education support professionals who help schools in Oklahoma run smoothly every day. This is Alicia Priest, president of the Oklahoma Education Association. They ensure that our students have a safe ride to school, healthy meals, and a clean environment to learn. So take a moment to say thank you to the ESPs in your school.
A message from the Oklahoma Education Association.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
I'm Dave Hunziker, and you've got the Bruins, Cardinals, Cowboys, and more.
And AM 1400 and also the mighty 690 KGGF, and it is Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Larry Glass in to walk us through the garden solutions to our problems this morning.
Okay, now that we've got a design, we'll talk about a couple of plants you can put in your design.
Okay.
And one of which is the Mugo Pine.
Mugo.
Mugo Pine. It's native to mountainous areas of Central and Southern Europe.
Okay.
So it has a good lineage.
Yes.
It's cold hardy down to zone 2. So when it gets down to 35 degrees below zero again here, when everybody's pipes are broken, your Mugo pines will be just fine.
So it's just as suitable in Minnesota as it is here. Okay.
Exactly. It is an evergreen dwarfed tree. Dense shrub growth habit to a multi-trunk tree. Actually can get pretty good size.
Mm-hmm.
It varies in size anywhere from 2 feet tall to 20 feet tall with equally varying spread. And some specimens have reached up to 50 feet tall, but they're probably older than the people who are around them anyway. This is kind of a medium texture, kind of a slow growth rate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the summer foliage. It's just a pine tree. Not going to go into any details. Just a pine tree. Anyway, the needles are 1 to 2 inches long, kind of a greenish, bright green color, no fall color. Flowers are not showy. They have a little tiny pine cones, which are kind of cute. About 1 to 2 inches long.
Oh,
for little dioramas, you know.
Yeah, I know. you're making up something that you're simulating snow with cotton balls.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They prefer a deep, well-drained, loose soil, but it's quite adaptable to sun-to-part shade. It's easy to transplant. It's one of the few pine trees that will tolerate a little bit of shade. I like to use them in groups or plantings. Or as a specimen plant, they work very well. Foundation plantings. Mm-hmm. So. Evergreen border. If you have a really large area, you might consider that as an evergreen border. They're pretty hardy plants.
Okay.
Scale can be a little bit of a problem with it. Pine tip moth is kind of a problem here with them. And some of the new pines are tolerant of shade. Anyway, as often considered a dwarf, actually is variable in size, so cultivar choice is critical. Now, we get into cultivars, the Mugo, it's a standard Mugo pine. It gets up 8 feet tall and twice as wide. So it's a small tree.
Mm-hmm.
You say you want something on the corner of the house that's about 8 feet tall with a medium texture that's evergreen and some trunking and specimen interest you might consider just a generic Mugo pine.
Okay.
Okay. There's a Pumalo pine, which can reach up to 10 feet tall, but typically it's only a few feet, 10 feet wide rather, but typically it's only a few feet tall. So it,
shorter, but squattier.
The Amber Glow is one that has a, tend to have a yellowish foliage on it. And if you don't tell the people that you move into your house after you sell it, that it's an Amber Glow.
This tree just looks sick.
I've been fertilizing and fertilizing it. It just it's supposed to be that way. But anyway, the Amber Gold is one. And so anyways, orange yellow in the cold months. Mm-hmm. Mops is a dwarf form, only 3 feet tall. This plant remains very tight, small, naturally, without pruning. And one I really like is called Slow Mound.
Okay.
Cool plant. It's another true dwarf selection, only gets about 3 feet tall. And this cultivar forms a dark green dense mound and really will never outgrow its planting space. It's a similar, true compact variety, so it stays really, really small. So Slow Mound, we had some Slow Mounds. We sold them. We'll get some more in.
Mm-hmm.
And another one, Tannenbaum, is a upright growing, kind of like a miniature Christmas tree.
Hence the name.
It's about 10 feet tall, 6 feet wide. So it might work at the corner of the house, too.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there's all kinds of varieties of Mughal pines out there. And I like to use these in association with boulders and the dwarf nandinas and maybe some smaller ornamental grasses.
Mm-hmm.
Some sedums do very well with it, and salvias and other things like that. Lantanas kind of goes with it nicely, too. It has kind of a xeriscape sort of appearance to it.
Now, since all the plants that you just mentioned are all kind of drought-tolerant plants, then this would fit right in, and if you're looking for something that's particularly drought-tolerant.
Exactly. Hostas just don't go with it, you know.
Yeah.
But things typically with smaller leaves is sort of keep it the scale proper with it. And the variegated liriope looks nice with it, too. It's a good striking contrast. I like to use that in clumps as a sort of a miniature grass plant with the Mughal pine. It creates a lot of color and textural interest that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
That stays in scale nicely. And the dwarf nandina, the firepower dwarf nandina, goes real well with it, too, for the wintertime appearance. So it's a very versatile plant in the landscape. And you want to avoid the varieties to get too big, because then it becomes a nuisance. There are a lot of them in town that are just way overgrown.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't trim this one back. If it, once it gets too big, you just replace it.
Okay.
Because it'll just be a forever little coat rack there in the yard. It really won't make a new plant if you cut it back.
How many years are we talking about before it could get too big? We're talking about 12 or 15, or
probably so five, depending on the variety. So now your some of your discount store varieties are just going to be the standard Mughal pine.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, that's kind of what they capitalize on, the things that are easy to grow and propagate and inexpensive to produce.
Sure.
About the dwarf varieties.
And if it's a national chain, then something they can sell in both, you know, Kansas and Arizona and New York.
Exactly.
You know.
But the Slow Mound and the Pumalos are ones that are very well suited for residential designs in the front because they'll stay in the beds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we do, at the nursery, we do have a Mughal pine that's, probably 30 years old, by the mailbox.
Now I know which one you're talking about.
Right, and we have a Virginia pine, the real tall one. It's only about 20 feet tall. It's real, has a real nice architectural appearance to it, if you will. And it's a pretty plant, too. And it's over there by the mailbox, too. That one's probably about 30 years old. And even some dwarf nandinas that are of the same vintage.
Wow.
So these plants last a long time.
That's always nice. That it's an investment that you're going to make for the many homeowners. You're going to make it once.
Exactly.
800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you in for Green Country Gardener. And we'll take our final break. Take some more of your calls when we continue in just a moment.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overly's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Fall means mowing on hot days are soon over, but at Four Seasons Ag & Lawn, it means great deals on Bobcat mowers. Four Seasons Ag & Lawn has a double-engine warranty on all Bobcats in stock. Four Seasons is offering you the best Bobcat warranty in Oklahoma, starting with 5 years, 500 hours, all the way up to 6 years, 2,750 hours on commercial mowers. Now, nobody can touch that. A double-engine warranty on your new Bobcat, only at Four Seasons Ag & Lawn, 3 miles southwest of Ula. On 169.
I'm Tiffany. I have some tips for you on how to quit smoking like I did. First, I did some reading about it. I found a lot of great advice on how to quit smoking and picked out the ways I thought would work best for me. I started by setting a quit date. Then I threw out my ashtrays, lighters, and matches. I did other things too, like exercising more, and it worked. But I'd still get cravings, especially on long car rides. To help me with that, I put a picture of my mother in my car. She died of lung cancer from smoking cigarettes when I was only 16. Now I have a 16-year-old daughter. That picture of my mother reminds me that I don't want to miss all the things my daughter is going to do in her life, including turning 17.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
The telephone number to get you on Green Country Gardener this Saturday morning. Still about 5 minutes left to go in the program. Time for your call and a couple of others if you want to give Larry a call and ask your question. We've got some other tips for you as we continue on the program this morning, planning your garden for next year. And Larry, we've talked about trees, but I bet there's shrubs and other things that we can talk about as well.
Yeah, your annual is a salvia, annual of the week.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Salvia is a very popular plant here in Oklahoma because it's tolerant to the heat.
Mm-hmm.
There are several forms of salvia. The annual forms of salvia are going to bloom all summer long. The perennials, like the Maynite or the Marcus, they tend to bloom in certain periods.
Mm-hmm.
And they put on a lot of color. They take the drought really well, and they don't take the wetness very well, but they do need open sunshine and good drainage. And if you don't have that, don't consider a salvia in your garden. But if you do have open sun, good drainage, and it tends to get a little dry here and there,
mm-hmm.
salvias do very well. And their blues are the primary colors of them,
mm-hmm.
blue. And there's, some of the annuals will be red and blue and white and so on. And I like to associate them with lavender and rosemary. They're very drought tolerant plants also, although they're primarily foliage interest. The lavender is some flower interest for some part. They do quite well. But anyway, you might consider that in your beds and give them room to grow. They do take up a little bit of space.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several annual varieties of salvia that do quite well.
Okay.
So and you might consider this species in general for other things. You know, for perennial beds
mm-hmm.
and color accents with your shrubs and so on, because they are so easy to grow, and you don't have to water them.
I'm going to say they take virtually no care. I mean,
precisely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good one. The Russian sage is another one. It's not a salvia. It's a Petrovska.
Okay.
It's not a, but it looks kind of like it. So we can mention that in with it too. They get kind of big. They need a lot of room. Mm-hmm. And they're very, very hardy, very tough plants. And Artemisias associate real nicely with salvias and of course, lantanas and some other things. So we can talk, as winter progresses, we can talk about xeriscape landscapes.
Mm-hmm.
We've discussed this in years in the past. But,
we have.
And everybody looks at the water bill, we need to consider about maybe implementing something like that as far as from a design standpoint,
mm-hmm.
either for annuals or even shrubs and things.
And just going back to defining our terms, a xeriscape, we're not talking about the number zero, we're talking about...
Well, it's X-E-R-I.
Right.
Xerox is basically dry copy.
Right.
So it's Xeri is the dry dry
exactly.
characteristics, whatever.
Yeah. So it takes not a lot of water.
Xeriscapes, yeah. So anyway, consider that also, and you might rethink your plans maybe a little bit next year on your annuals, which I think I will too.
Mm-hmm.
As far as looking at my water bill, whoa. So it's going to change a little bit.
As far as with the meteorologist talking about a likelihood of a La Nina effect this year, with being a colder and wetter than typical winter, is that going to affect how we winter through the with our garden this year?
The plants that are existing, your shrubs and things, will benefit from a wet winter, if you will. Mm-hmm. As far as the annuals next year, no, that water usually is gone for a week of hot weather. It's out of here. So, if anything, it'll help you break the soil in the spring.
Good.
But if you're a good gardener, you should have done that already. Pulled up the annuals, mm-hmm. ground them up or thrown them out, and got that ground turned up roughly and get ready for next spring.
Yeah.
So, anyway, golly, a lot going on at the nursery right now. We have, poinsettias.
Mm-hmm.
We have, we're about sold out of evergreen greens.
Okay.
It's time to get them up anyway. So.
It is, yeah. Well, you need to have those up inside or outside of the house.
We did have some. I don't know if Gary has any more left, but anyway, that makes things real pretty, too.
But you have several different varieties of poinsettias that are rotating in now, other than just the all red.
Yeah, it's just not the same old thing. You know, it's something different, something interesting. Mm-hmm. So come out and check it out. We also have the wind chimes in.
Oh, yeah.
This is a place where we have a lot of wind, either through the weather or politically. So they're liable to make a lot of noise.
I have a call coming in. Caller, you have to be brief. I've got less than a minute. What can we do for you?
Okay, is it okay to transplant Rosa Sharon right now?
You bet. Rosa Sharon, I've transplanted them in July, and they've made it before.
But
okay,
yes.
So this is a good time right now?
Good time right now. You bet.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, appreciate that. I didn't want to ignore the caller. I just wanted to let him know that we're counting down the seconds here.
All I have time for now is to, Charlie, tell you to keep that shovel sharp, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, that's Green Country Gardener on your Saturday morning with Larry Glass. News on the way.
Before the ball drops, insure your special event with Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville and K226.